The word today is parables. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Jesus taught his disciples using parables. In chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, he explains why. As Christ's followers, we too can learn from these teaching stories. To help us understand some of Christ's parables, here from our archives is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Parables.
In the Gospel of Matthew, we find Jesus teaching his disciples using what is called a parable. As a matter of fact, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, I believe there are seven parables. And counting all of Matthew, I think there's something like 21 parables. So the most important chapter, though, dealing with parables is the 13th chapter of Matthew. And one of the more known, I guess it's known by a lot of believers, called the sower, the parable of the sower, that Jesus taught is right at the beginning at Matthew, the first verse, we are taught about the parable of the sower. The interesting thing about certain of these parables is that we're not left to wonder what the meaning is or how to understand them, because he clearly explains and defines each step of what the parable means. So if you want to turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew when you have a chance to have a Bible in front of you, I think you would thoroughly enjoy looking. Let's first of all look at the parable of the sower. And it is explained later on, and the understanding of that parable is given by Jesus step by step by step, so we know what each of those objects in the parable refer to. For instance, the seed is the word of God, and the field that the sower is sowing this seed in is the world. And so this seed, this message of salvation, the news about Jesus Christ, is sown, is preached, is taught throughout the world. Now some of it, this is a parable about the condition of the heart. And it uses the heart as a picture of a field. The dirt in some places has been worn into a path. It's been hardened to the point where the seed just lies around on the top and doesn't really sink in, doesn't really begin to grow. And the birds come and pick it up and eat it, and it's destroyed. So some of the listeners listen in a very calloused way. It doesn't really take root. They don't really understand it or begin to grow. And the seed just is eaten. It's just destroyed. It's no longer valid. And other types of the soil of the heart are explained here. The rocky, where the soil, it just doesn't go down very deep. It sinks in. At first, it looks as though it's really growing, but then it doesn't develop a root system, and as a result, the sun comes out, bakes it, and it just fades away. It also talks about some soil that is thorny and full of thorns and brush and stuff, which as a result, as it grows, begins to smother out the seed and begins to kill away the word as it's trying to sprout in the heart. And finally, it describes a fertile field, that the heart has been plowed and the weeds have been removed, and as a result, the heart is ready to grow and produce, and it becomes fertile. And so it describes there that some of the soil, some of the heart that listens to the Word of God will begin to produce and begin to respond, and there will be many different types of response. Some will be very positive and very direct and very full in terms of the rating of the crop, the harvest of the crop. And so this whole teaching of the sower begins in this 13th chapter. Now, as you go along, there you get to verse 44, and it describes there that there's a parable which defines the weeds that are going to be growing in the field in which the sower is sowing. Now, this is kind of a separate parable, and we need to take a look at this because it describes that a sower has sown the seed, and we know this means the gospel has been preached to the world, and the field is the world. It's all defined there. Jesus gives the explanation. I think it's verse 18, and as it goes along here, it describes that the owner of this field, after sowing the seed in the field, has his laborers, the workers that work for him, come to him and say, Master, we don't know what's happened here, but it's very obvious that weeds are growing along with the crop. And they become very concerned, and they say, maybe we ought to go back into the field and pull out the weeds. And the master says, no, don't do that, because the weeds are growing right with the crop of grain. And they look very similar, and you could make some mistakes. Now, even beyond that, even beyond the appearance, there's also a possibility. And as you read about these weeds, by the way, I forget the name of the weed over there in Palestine, but they have a name for it. And they even have a nickname for it. They call it the fake weed. In other words, the weed that looks real but really isn't. And it looks like wheat. It looks as though it's going to be a good product, and yet it's a weed. Now, the master tells them, leave them grow together, because if you pull out the weed, you could accidentally pull out some of the good crop. The weed system, as it goes down, begins to get tangled up with the actual good grain, and we don't want to pull out any good grain. So let them grow side by side, and at the time of the harvest, when the time is ripe, I will send my angels. The angels will be the harvesters, and they will go. First, they will gather the weeds. Now, here, by the way, is an excellent reference again to the fact that there is a hell. The scriptures teach us very clearly that there is a hell. And I just can't stand it when some Christians try to act as though they're very pious and they say, well, we don't think God will damn anyone. Well, you can't hold that view and be a Christian, because it's directly contrary to what God's word says. There is a hell. There is going to be a final judgment, and God will send those who reject his son and do not believe in him and choose to not listen to his gift of forgiveness. He will send those people to hell. There is an eternal damnation. It's real. It's true. And these parables illustrate that once again. It says that the harvesters, the angels, and they won't make any mistakes, by the way, they are the servants of God, they will gather the weeds, and the weeds will be thrown into an eternal fire. Now, this is a description again of hell. And they will be destroyed, and this is the judgment of God for the unbeliever. The believer is the harvest, that's the good grain, and they will be brought into the harvest, into the granary, into the barn, so to speak, the picture, of course, of heaven. They will be brought into the heavenly kingdom, and they will live with God forever in heaven. So this parable of the sower, which begins in the first opening verses of Matthew, the 13th chapter, and then continues on, as it expands beyond the ground and the illustration of the different types of soil that are in the hearts of the listeners, that it expands then into this reference of the people of God growing side by side, so to speak, with worldly people. But there will be ultimately a time of judgment, and that's the time of harvest. And that will be the judgment in which God separates his people, those that are saved, those who have believed in his son Jesus and have the forgiveness of their sins and will be going to live eternally with him in heaven, and those who have rejected and have disbelieved and not accepted the gift of salvation, they will be going into eternal judgment. Now, this text, and by the way, when it speaks of that eternal judgment, notice a phrase that appears here not only in the opening parts of Matthew, But later on, and next week I'm going to be talking some more about the parables, and later on in the 13th chapter of Matthew, it speaks of this again. It says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, in that eternal judgment, it's not only going to be a physical torment, but there will be a bitterness, there will be a separation, there will be a loneliness, there will be a judgment of God. It's like seeing the bus leave, so to speak, and it's not coming back. In other words, there is no hope. That's one of the most terrible things about hell. There is no hope. There is no second chance. And so this is described again here, and it says, in that case, therefore, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the eternal judgment of God toward the unbeliever, toward the unrepentant, the unbeliever. I hope by now that I've given you enough interest and enough motivation to get you to read the 13th chapter of Matthew. And as a matter of fact, I've already mentioned that this is going to be the subject of the 2 weeks, and that next week I'll be talking some more about parables. To give you a little clue into next week's program, the parables are going to be parables about heaven. So once again, we'll have some teachings of Jesus very clearly and very specifically referring to the heaven and the heavenly kingdom. So both of these topics occur right here in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the discussion about hell and also a discussion about heaven. If you get the first 44 verses of Matthew on the topic that we had today, and for next week, get prepared starting at verse 45, because we're going to be talking about the parables of heaven. So I hope this entire reference to parables will whet your appetite, get you into the Holy Scriptures, get you in contact with God and in prayer, prepare your hearts that you are a fertile field for the sowing and that you will produce abundantly for the Lord and serve Him as He teaches you through parables.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.